time to find balance and be refreshed here on Every Heart, Every Woman.
Every Heart, Every Woman.
Get ready for uplifting music and inspiring interviews.
Every Heart, Every Woman.
Let's get motivated to move forward as we share our life experiences. Host, Carla Nivens.
Welcome to the show, everyone. My name is Carla Nivens. I am your host for the Every Heart, Every Woman radio show. We are going to be talking about our mission trip that we just got back from. We just went to Africa, and we have so many things that we're processing, so many things that the Lord is putting on our hearts. We want to share that with you. So we want to start with a song that we wrote for our mission trips. This song is called Spread the News. It is performed by our band. So sit back and enjoy.
Go forth and spread the news. In every tongue to the old and new. To every nation proclaim the truth. He is Lord, He is King of kings. The one who reigns over you and me. To give us life.
Shout to heaven, sing with joy.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back. My name is Carla Nivens. Again, I am your host for the Every Heart, Every Woman radio show. And I have really two good friends with me today to talk about our mission trip that we just took from Africa. Our radio show program is sponsored through Love Ministries, which is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. You can find out more information about Love Ministries from their website. Go right to loveministriesbuilds.org. The first person I want to welcome is, welcome back, is Miss Jana Bell. Jana is a friend of mine and a friend of the show. She's been on the show several times, but she took the trip with us over to Africa, and we're very excited to just talk about it and help ourselves actually process what the Lord did there as well. So, thank you so much for being here, Jana.
I love it. Y'all get a 2-for-1 today. I'm co-host and I'm the interviewee.
There you go.
You get it all today. Happy, happy.
So y'all know that's exactly how Jana starts.
That's how I started. You got to come in with it. Joy, this is talk radio. So we got to let people know it's happiness here. Don't turn the dial. You're going to get happiness right here. Everybody knows me. It's like, yeah, that's Jana. Yep, it's me.
It's Jana.
It's me.
It's Jana. We're so excited to have her back. Yay. Very good. Great intro. Now, Jason over here is scared.
Why? Now, listen. If anybody, y'all think I'm a nut. King of nuts.
Jason is a nut.
King
yes.
of nuts here.
We are really going to have a good time. So we are also welcoming for the first time, Jason Bells to the Every Heart, Every Woman radio show. Welcome, Jason.
So excited to be here. I'm not a woman, but I'm glad to be here.
That's right. He's not a woman.
But amen. I have a heart.
Yes, you do have a heart.
Okay.
That is perfect. So Jason, he coordinates a lot of the mission trips that we've taken. He got me on the mission trip to Costa Rica and now got me on the trip to Africa, Jana as well. Costa Rica first, and then to Africa. Jason sits on the board of Roots Network, and Roots Network is there on the ground in Africa, and they are also associated with New Beginnings Church in Longview, correct?
That's correct, yeah. Yeah, the Roots Network kind of serves several countries in East Africa, really with a mission of starting, serving, and strengthening, starting new churches and starting to spread the gospel, serving the communities that are there right now, focused on Rwanda and Burundi, mm-hmm. But also to expand eventually into the Congo, as well as in Ooh. Uganda, perhaps Kenya and Tanzania as well, and then serving the local communities and then strengthening through the gospel of Jesus Christ there yeah. throughout East Africa and focusing primarily on areas that are hard to reach or perhaps unreached by the gospel. Mm. So it's really a wonderful organization.
It is.
Started by our friends Adam and Emily Kelling, and they live on the ground in Kigali, Rwanda.
Yeah. So we got a chance to meet them, and actually I met them here before they moved to Africa. Roosevelt and I did sat down to breakfast with them and to hear their heart, and we just love the work that they are doing. We loved being a part of it, so thank you. I mean, Jason had to do a lot of work. Jason had to basically meet with Roosevelt for this. It was like 2 years in the making.
Yeah, to convince him.
Yes, to convince him. And even like the week of, he was like, I need to go talk to Roosevelt. He sat down and talked to him again. The day before, Roosevelt came to church and said, I need to talk to Jason again. So then they talked again, and you know what happened?
He just said, I know you'll bring her back in the same way you took her.
And that happened.
Now, I'm wondering, because he just told me I was going.
Well, I had to clear it special through James.
Yes, James Bell.
That's
yes.
my mother, for
yes.
those who don't
yes.
know.
Which, yes,
unfortunately, she thinks Jason could do no wrong. I'm not going to ruin it for her. I've seen the truth.
Amy Bells is laughing right now.
Amy yeah, Bells is Jason's right wife. Now. We simply adore
we
her.
We love Amy Bells.
And you
love
tolerate me.
Well, I didn't say
She's
it.
She's been on the radio program.
She has been on the show. She has been on the show. She did
she
a wonderful
a
job. Yes, we absolutely love Amy Bill. So, hey, Amy, but we want to talk about the trip. I mean, the Lord and these mission trips, if you're listening and you have never gone on a mission trip, we highly recommend it. You go with a group of people that you may hardly know, and you become a community and you become family over the duration of the mission trip. You join together for one purpose, and that is to share the gospel and share the Lord with people who are in need. And sometimes it's hard to see the need and hard to take in, especially in Africa. Everyone said, you're not going to come back the same, like it's going to be totally different. I didn't take that in at all. I didn't believe that at all, in the least. I was like, no, it'll be just as
And you came back
easy.
Different.
Oh, my goodness.
And I want to speak to the team thing that you said, because
yes.
I've traveled a lot, and I've traveled, done mission and not mission.
Right.
I've done a lot of groups, and I have to say that the Lord truly put this group together. I was
yes.
just super excited
yes.
about the way, I mean, it was 12 of us that
mm-hmm.
traveled, and I mean, literally the only time that I felt like these were strangers or people I don't know was probably the first few hours, maybe the flight.
Right.
But
right.
literally once we start talking and connecting, like we were trying our best to figure out a reunion before we even got back on the plane.
Exactly.
Like I'm already missing everyone. I'm like, I don't want to be weird, so I'm not going to start texting everybody just yet. But I'm really at home. Like,
I was weird. I texted people the next morning.
I'm already thinking like, I really miss everybody.
I miss you. Yes. Yes.
So I'm just going to give it a breather just a second to let them get acclimated back to home. But I mean, what a wonderful group of
yes.
people, just
yes.
godly people. I mean,
yes.
truly among the body of Christ, truly among brothers and sisters, which also I'll say, I really felt honored and privileged. Like that made me feel so different. I mean, not different, so good that Jason said, okay, I know this trip. And when he said to us, hey, you two belong on this trip.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, people say this, like, oh, okay, yeah, we'll go on a mission
right.
trip. But when I met the group of people that we were traveling with, and to know that he had to go talk to people about us coming.
Right.
It wasn't just like, oh, you just joined the
right.
trip. Because
we truly were outsiders that
yeah.
he invited
and
in.
And I thought
yes.
it was just, oh, anybody can sign up. But no, you have to be clear. They have
mm-hmm.
to know that you are spiritually firm.
Mm-hmm.
And so to me, that spoke volumes. Like, okay, Jason sees the truth. Amen. No, Jason, just the fact
well,
that
I pray about
that
it. Pray about it. I give it some thought. I talk to other people. And really, that's a testament to New Beginnings
mm-hmm.
and kind of their process. And I've learned so much from the missions pastor there and the missions team there on how to do things. And I've gone on more than 20 mission trips now, and I think I've led you know, a good bit of those, and in this one, I wasn't the leader, of course. We were passengers and just part of the team. But, you know, there's a lot that goes into it and a lot of preparing. But
mm-hmm.
I would say to anyone, you know, something regarding missions. And the reason people say, well, why would you go to Africa? Why would you do that? Why would you go through all that? Because the
mm-hmm.
flight's very long.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of preparation, and there's expense involved.
Mm-hmm.
And so whether it's Costa Rica or Africa or wherever you go on a mission trip, it is not – you're not going so you can do good. Now, a byproduct of that is you get to do some good and you get to help people and you get to see some short-term fruits of that. But
yes.
you're going on mission so that God can share with you and through you the good that
yes.
he is capable of doing and that he's already doing
yes.
in Christ's love. So you go on mission so you can experience Christ's love.
Yes.
And as a byproduct, yes, you get to do a little good, but really it's about what God does through you and in you, and he gets to share a little bit of that with you.
Yeah.
And then where you take that and bring that home. And I really believe we're all missionaries in some capacity, whether you're teaching Sunday school, whether you're just speaking to the
right.
stranger at the grocery
mm-hmm.
store, whether you're counseling a friend that's going through a hard time, and whether you're doing this radio show,
mm-hmm.
or even Aaron back there in the control room producing
yes.
the radio show.
Hey,
yes. All these things going on, you're a missionary. The beauty of going on a short-term mission trip and stepping away is you get to isolate yourself from all the distractions
mm-hmm.
that get you in your daily life, and you get to really see what God is doing,
yes.
and you open yourself up. And then when you come back, you know, maybe you can share some of that with other people.
Yes, yes. Let's talk about the on the way to missions, especially on this trip. There are a couple of things that you said that I want to hit on, but the first thing is, especially this mission trip, you've got to prepare yourself, which I didn't prepare myself at all. I went on this mission trip thinking, let's just be in the moment on every moment. So let's not think too much. And so the first flight is like 9 hours, and then the second flight is 9 hours. And the first flight, when the pilot announced that, you know, this flight is truly 9 hours, I thought, okay, Lord, this is going to take a lot of patience and a lot of humility, especially for Americans who would not sit idly for 9 hours times two and not feel like we're doing something or not feel like we're accomplishing
things. Yeah, don't forget
the hour flight
we had to get there.
Yeah, we had an hour flight, yes, to Houston first.
I mean, to me, you're in the plane 20, 21 hours, 22 hours.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not to mention the airports.
Yeah. I mean, so how easy was it for you all? It was difficult for me to let, since I'm sitting there for 18 hours, 19 hours, I had a lot kind of going on through my mind about things here back in Dallas. Did I prepare my job well enough? Did I prepare home well enough? Did I, you know, get everything in order so that everybody else could do what they needed to do here while I was gone? And there's a lot of anxiousness and some worry for me that was associated with the flight that, thank the Lord, I had, you know, all of that time to sit down and actually pray through it and give it over to the Lord and know that, number one, I'm not in control. Even when I'm here in Dallas, I'm not in control. I can never do enough to get things into control so that people can run, you know, run with it. But I use that time to kind of just give everything over to the Lord and thank the Lord that I had that much time, because I think it took that much time. But how about for you all? How was it preparing to sit for that long?
There's nothing like being 40,000 miles in the air to make you really trust God and to really focus on who He is and, you know, what you're going to do. But for me, even before we got on the plane, I dealt with so much warfare just
That's
getting
true.
Here. Mm-hmm. Especially, I mean, there was many things, but the biggest thing to me, I think, was I've been dealing with a back situation with a herniated disc, which I'll probably be getting surgery soon. And so for me, like, I almost canceled the trip so many times simply because I thought, how can I sit this long? Like, I've traveled out of the country, so the plane ride doesn't bother me. I know I can sleep on it, but thinking about sitting, because that to me is the worst place for me for this.
And to me, it's amazing that you made it, because your back
was
really
amazing.
Messed up.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And so the fact that you got over there and God worked for you, and you did everything. You didn't complain. You did everything.
And that was totally God. So, you know, the fact that, like we said, we went on the hour flight to Houston, which was turbulent.
Right.
And they didn't even offer service. I was like, okay, Lord, this is just an hour. I could push through this. And, of course, there was pain. But then we got on the flight, and we had our roles to ourselves. I was like, thank you, Lord.
We did get to lay down that first
flight. Thank you, God.
That first 9 hours, yes.
That helped a lot. But honestly, God just completely, and that's really what the whole trip did for me. God just kept showing me that I am your shepherd. I am.
Amen.
I will take care of you. I am your grace. I am truly your strength in weakness. Because honestly, I couldn't think of anything else except how am I going to make it? Like, I have a sleeping pill just in case. And like I said, God just kept showing me I have you. And literally, there was a grace from the moment of that flight through the whole trip.
Amen.
That He just lifted the pain. He helped me to make it. He helped me to get in, like I said, positions to make it through. Because that next flight, that third flight, I was crowded up in a two-seat with a big super six-foot guy. And I was like, bless his heart. Because I'm probably all over him trying to get comfortable. And I know they're probably like, what is wrong with this girl getting up walking so much? But, you know, like I said, God truly helped through that. That was mine. And like Him just showing me, I got you.
Yes.
I really
yes.
love you. Like, I don't just tolerate you. I love you. And I'm going to be your strength because I'm sending you to Africa. Because I canceled the trip many times in my mind. But He was like, no, you can go.
Yeah. I think it was amazing what you did. I almost canceled the trip for you several
you
times.
You
did.
Yeah, you did. Carl and I were talking. All right, Janice's not going to be able to go.
I'm going to call her and tell her she can't go.
I mean, and I talked to my doctors, my primary, my pain doctor, my therapist, and every one of them said, go. My therapist looked at me and said,
I can't believe
they said that. Stop living. You have to go.
Yeah,
and I was even sitting with my mouth open like, what?
That's true.
They were like, we'll give you extra medication. You need to go. Just walk on the plane and go. And I'm like, not that I don't really know their history with God, but the fact that they said go, like I said, okay, Lord. And
that's
even in my family, they just prayed that I could go.
Mm-hmm.
So, and yeah. I'm so glad you went.
Yeah, I'm also glad that I went.
My experience is somewhat unique in that, you know, this is the fourth time I've been on a trip like that to Africa. Mm-hmm. And so I should know how to prepare, and I should know. And so I start preparing about a month in advance, and I start taking care of things at work and really working and to get That's in front smart. Of that for all the things. However, you're never really ready.
Okay.
You're never really ready. That's true. And That's again, so true. My wife, Amy Bales, who is wonderful and a saint, she knows all the mental and spiritual warfare that comes mm-hmm. in front of it and just inhibits my mind and creates worry in going. And so she put together this wonderful journal for me with letters and scripture verses and song lyrics that really kind of helped me. And so I spent some time on the plane kind of going through that in summation mm-hmm. and then went through it day by day when I got there just to realize the enormity of how much I'm loved and how God loves me through other people. Mm-hmm. And so that helped. But I don't think you can ever really be ready for it. And I think spiritual warfare comes, and that's a whole different topic, probably on a whole different radio show for another time. But it's very real. Mm-hmm. And I think all of us, to a certain degree, had things affect us before, and then you yes. come home and while you're there. And I kind of consider that a little bit, maybe badge of honor is not the right word, but something, you know, if you're indifferent and nothing's affecting you, then you're probably not having impact for God. But if things are eating at you and causing mm-hmm. you worry and stress, and there are things and roadblocks, that means God is using you and there are things working against that. And
yeah, that's good.
I truly believe that, and I think that's true here, but certainly going on that trip. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I for me, going on mission trips is a chance to see the Lord's hand of provision in a whole different way than what I can see here. It stretches me. My personality is more of a alone personality. When you're on a mission trip, and by alone personality, I mean that I refuel by being by myself. And so I plan times to be by myself a lot, which I can, you know, kind of do that when I'm home. On mission trips, you are with someone and you're with the group for every single day that you're there, and you are refueling by being in the community, and you're getting to know people, and people are speaking over your life. You're praying together. You're doing your quiet time together. You're worshiping together. So it's a whole different lifestyle than being at home. And so for personalities like mine, it can be a little scary. I remember my first trip to Costa Rica, I did take times to be by myself to, you know, just kind of read and just take downtime. And I thought that would help me make it through. But as this is my umpteenth mission trip, I don't know how many, I've learned that actually the best times and the most meaningful times are when I'm just with people and not needing to be alone to refuel.
Right, and interacting with mm-hmm. other people. Because, mm-hmm. yeah, because people feed off you and you feed off
yes.
them. And sure,
yes.
sure.
Yeah, yeah.
My anxiety comes more from just the comfort things and just being uncomfortable, being out of control. You mm-hmm. know, going on a mission trip, you're essentially surrendering control to mm-hmm. whatever the things are because you don't know what's going to happen. Whereas, for the most part, day-to-day, we kind of know what's going to happen. We go to our jobs or whatever we do, our mm-hmm. lives or our families, and we kind of have some semblance of how things are going to go. On a mission trip, you know, if you don't surrender to whatever's going to happen, then you're constantly frustrated.
You're going to have a bad time.
Right, mm-hmm. because you're constantly out of control.
Yes, yes.
And so, for me, not being comfortable is a very hard thing and losing that control.
Yeah.
And God... doesn't matter how many times I've been. I've been more than 20 times. I still struggle with that every single time. Mm-hmm. Every time.
Mm-hmm. And I can say on this mission trips, even because we had some interruptions, the bus broke down.
My Lord.
Had some interruptions. And the three of us, we had to do an interview late at night that was put on our plate. But all of those things enriched the trip, and the Lord showed his hand in each and every one of those ways. So we're going to take a break. It's time for us to take a break. Let's press the pause button. Then when we get back, we'll get into the nuts and bolts of this trip. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
You're listening to Every Heart, Every Woman, the show where women find balance, peace, and inspiration. Now let's get back to the show with your host, Carla Nivens.
Welcome back to the Every Heart, Every Woman radio show. My name is Carla Nivens. I am your host, and I have two of my good friends here in the studio with me. I've got Jana Bale. Welcome, Jana Bale.
Every heart, every woman.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's Miss Jana. I had to back that up. Okay, Jason, what's going to happen when I...
Every heart, every man? Woman.
Oh, I thought he was going to represent all the men. next time.
Try to go real low.
try to go real low. He's like... All right, Jason.
For the baritone women.
For the baritone women. Oh, well, thank you so much, Jason, for being here.
They feel so loved and included now.
Hopefully everyone feels included, the baritone women also as well. So you all, we have been talking about our trip to Africa, our mission trip to Africa. We had the opportunity to go to Rwanda, and then we had the opportunity to go to Burundi, then back to Rwanda, and then back home. And this was over a span of 12 days, right? So, Jason, let us know, talk to us a little bit about Rwanda and the history and, you know.
Sure. I think most people probably who are children in the 90s are a little bit familiar with Rwanda's history. And really, Burundi ties into that, too, but it certainly affected Rwanda. But in April of 1994, 1 million people were slaughtered in Rwanda. In 90 days. And so if you do the math on that, that's a lot of people killed every minute. And it was countrymen versus countrymen. Without getting the history of it, there's a very long history. Certainly that has affected the entire country of Rwanda. And really, you go over there and you see it in their faces. I mean, you see it in anyone. First of all, the country's pretty young because a lot of people were killed during that time, during the genocide. Over tribal warfare and really racial issues. And then on top of that, the survivors, you can see it in their eyes. And, and almost everyone in the country was affected by it. Someone lost a loved one or someone they cared about. And so that kind of hangs over everything we do and everything that happens there. And, you know, people say, well, gosh, you know, and they isolate that and I could never live. I promise evil is throughout the world, and history has repeated itself over and over and over again. So Rwanda is not unique in evil affecting it, but certainly evil did affect it. And so that kind of hangs over the whole country. And maybe with that backdrop, talk about some of the ministry you and Jana in particular did with the women there and some of the ways y'all connected, because we had the opportunity to sing for people, and some of the women gravitated to us, and particularly to you guys, and you just had some amazing conversations, not only sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, but, you know, answering real questions about faith, about real life and real struggle.
Yes. So the Roots Network, the way the Roots Network is set up is when we go, we meet up with churches and people that live there and that are in the community, and they are pastors in the community. So in we did that in Rwanda and Burundi. So in Rwanda, we met up with Pastor Ezekias and his team and had the opportunity to meet them, and they were wonderful people. We loved them and missed them so very much. But they helped us to communicate, and we had the opportunity to sing. To sing in English as well as how do we say it?
Kinyarwanda.
Kinyarwanda. And Pastor Ezekias and his team, they helped us bridge that gap, and they did a beautiful job helping us to bridge that gap. But we had the opportunity to sing and to worship, which is our love, all three of us. That's what we will do for the rest of our lives, and you know, until the Lord takes us home with Him, and then we will continue in heaven. But we had the opportunity to sing, and we also had the opportunity to share the gospel, to share our testimony. And like Jason said, yes, there were women who gravitated to us and stood there and was like, okay, tell us more, tell us more, tell us more. And we just kept having the opportunity to share. One of the things that stood out to me is they were asking about forgiveness.
The women, they have been through a lot. Their children have been through a lot. And they were saying, you know, we want to protect our children and we want to teach our children about Jesus, but how do we forgive?
Yeah, and a lot of times the people in the communities that committed these crimes against them, they're still there.
They're still there.
They're still their neighbors.
They're still there.
Because so many people committed these crimes against each other, you can't just lock them all up.
Yes,
I mean,
yes.
And so they had to kind of work out things through the community. So they're still living there, you know, 20 years later, side by side.
Yes. And looking at these graves, like, you know, when we went to the genocide memorial, mm-hmm. was right there. It's not like it's hidden some far off way. Like, you're just driving down the street and it's there, mm-hmm. which it was beautiful.
Yes.
And I'm extremely grateful that we got a chance to go because we already had compassion for them.
Mm-hmm.
But that just increased the awareness and, you know, to really understand what was going on. And I just love that because, and also, like you said, hate is not new to them. I love how they show this has happened in several countries. This has happened several times over our history. So in order, you know, just like they said, let us really understand what we're walking into, what we're really speaking into, and what mm-hmm. we can really pray about specifically for
mm-hmm.
those people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we did a lot of praying. I mean, we did a lot of sharing, and we talked about how Jesus, you know, took on our sin, and he forgived us even when we did not deserve it. That's a hard thing to say, you know, with what they've experienced, but it was the gospel. It was the truth. And they took it. They had a way, which I liked, which we've tried to continue that. They had a way of listening. They would listen to what you say, and then they would say, signify that they heard it and they are thinking of it. You know, I'm listening. I'm thinking of what you just said. And so we shared that with them. And I personally said, you know, I'm a mom. I have kids too. And I don't want my kids to grow up and they don't learn the ways of the Lord from me, which includes forgiveness. And so I shared that with them as well. And again, they were like, you know, so they, you know, my heart just goes out to them. And I believe I posted that picture of that group of women that really stuck with us that whole day because they wanted more and more and more and more about Jesus.
It's one of my favorite pictures of the two of you with that group of ladies because, again, they're all about your age,
mm-hmm.
which is our age and about the time, very real in the genocide. We were all in our early to mid-20s.
Yes.
And the pain and the sin from all that is very real.
Mm-hmm.
And it just goes to show that the only hope anyone has in this world, to me, is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's very simple. But that kind of hope can get you through the hardest moments and the worst moments. And it's not that you or Jana or anyone came in and said any magic words mm-hmm. or immediately alleviated pain. And that's just not possible. But what it does is you're having very real conversations about the only way you've gotten through difficult situations is the hope of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And they're connecting with that. And they're connecting with that through their brothers and sisters, their own people. And, you know, I think that's a worldwide message. And
yes,
that's not unique to
it
Rwanda
is.
Or mm-hmm. the continent of Africa or anywhere, because we face the same sorts of sin and hate and evil
mm-hmm.
in the United States. It just looks different. Sometimes it's more passive. Sometimes it's more raw and in your face.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly Africa is raw and in your face.
Mm-hmm.
But that same hope exists, and people were receiving it. And that's the fruits we got to experience is watch that. And I just, when I was watching you having those conversations with the ladies, and clearly the Holy Spirit's working in them,
yes.
and they're connecting and they're responding, like you said, I just backed up and really observed. And it was an amazing experience. And that was truly an experience that only women could have shared together.
Right, right, right.
I couldn't have done that. So God was using women, you as women, to connect with those women.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was definitely a powerful time, a blessing. And and also in Rwanda, after we had the opportunity to share, we gave the people there in the villages the opportunity to go and to share Jesus Christ with their friends and with their neighbors. And they did that. And that was powerful to see them taking on the lead of, okay, I've received Jesus and I'm excited about it. That's what they said. We understand more and we're excited about it. And then we gave them the opportunity to share, and they took that opportunity, which is a huge step.
I love that we were able to empower, because sometimes we kind of feel like we're going to go fix a problem or we're going to go do it. And
we're
we
not going to fix a problem.
We're going to go show them. But I love that we said, okay, here's Jesus. And we were able to empower and just step back and support and say, hey, you want to tell it? We'll stand here. If you got a question, we'll help you. But I love that. That happened in both Rwanda and Burundi, where it's like, hey, we'll do it. But if you want to do it, we'll support you in it. You know, it just showed the unity of Christ and how we stand and, you know, just working together. Mm-hmm. It was so loving to see, especially that one lady at the end when we were finished and we thought we were going back. She was like, no, I want to go to another one. And I'm like,
I want to share.
Yes.
God. I love that.
It was wonderful. It was wonderful. And so when we got to Burundi, of course, now we're, I don't know, maybe this is in our second week. It all runs together with me. But when we get to Burundi, we're a little bit tired. We're tired.
A lot of
we had to get on a flight to fly another flight to fly to Burundi and then go through customs. And there's a lot associated with going through customs in Africa.
Let me tell you, that test of faith right there. Yeah. Just going through all the security. Thank you, Jesus.
Securities. It was rough. We got through it. We had to pray because we got a little upset and different things, but the Lord got us through.
Yes,
and we were there for his purpose. And then we got to Burundi and we had the opportunity to join with a New Beginnings.
Beginnings Church in Bujumbura, Burundi, which obviously is named after New Beginnings in Longview and their relationship here.
Yes.
And I'll say real quickly, you know, Burundi is different than Rwanda. You know, Rwanda, international money has come in. Rwanda's kind of started to develop tourism, and they've got a very stable government, consistent government for, you know, 20 plus years. So it's a little different. Burundi has had some other struggles and then some instability in the government. You can go read about that in the news. And Burundi also was affected by the genocide, but it's a smaller nation, so somewhat more forgotten and really forgotten by the world today. There is a lot of poverty in Burundi.
Yes, yes.
And it is a very young nation. I mean, as you know, we go into that church and everyone's kids. And so totally different experience. Burundi is more raw, even in your face in Africa, whereas Africa, some of the stuff you can see on the face isn't in it, but it's a little more reserved. And Burundi's kind of in your face in every aspect.
Yes.
And so it was a different experience, but a beautiful one at that.
Beautiful
and
experience.
We started off with the worship, and wow.
Yes, with Pastor Mabule and his team. And, I mean, they were like 21 years to 27 years, you know, professionals in Burundi, and they just loved the Lord. They had this fire and this passion, and it was
amazing.
I don't know, electric. Yeah, yeah. Just absolutely electric. The presence of the Lord was there, and I mean, we were like down on our knees, just reverencing the Lord. I mean, it was wonderful. And then we had the opportunity to join with that team and to go out into what would you describe those places that we went out to?
So
we went all the way.
Yeah, we went to several villages. So we went to a village of the Twa people, which are kind of the forgotten, the lowest of the low, and they typically don't own land. They're typically nomadic. And again, New Beginnings is invested in there over several years.
Yes.
Started by bringing food, then gave money and seated a local pastor and trained the local pastor to start a church. Now there's a church building. Then seated a water well. Now there's a water well. And for 2-3 years, we've done medical clinics there. So it's a long-term investment for the Roots Network and New Beginnings. And the community is starting to thrive and grow. And we were there doing medical mission. And then we went down to another refugee camp for people that lost their homes in mudslides in Rumonge. And we did work at a refugee camp, thousands of people there.
Yes.
And we did medical mission and food and things to try and immediately meet their needs, but all backed by the gospel.
Yes.
For the pastors and the leaders and the elders of the community, gospel training and leadership training and things that our senior leaders did. And then just standing in line and ministering to people and doing medical care, singing, worshiping, sharing the gospel, having the same conversations that we had in Rwanda. And again, we just got to be a small part of what God is doing in their individual lives. And He shared that with us.
Yeah. And it was a blessing. And like I said, by the time we get doing that, we're physically tired in our bodies. Some of us are on medicine by this time because of the different food that you eat and try to stay away from, but it's hard to stay away from, and all these different things.
Yeah, two-thirds of the team is on antibiotics at that point.
Antibiotics. But we are still working as a team, working as a community. We are... you know, just committed to meeting needs.
And excited every day.
Yes, very excited. We would just keep going. And then the team in Burundi, the doctors and the team from the church, from New Beginnings Burundi, we had a bigger team to work with. And so we were able to see person after person after person. How many would you say, 1,000?
I would say we saw 1,000 people in 2 days, yes. You know, through medical, through just 4 or 5 doctors, and then everyone helping out, and people like Jana running the pharmacy.
Yeah.
And
yes, doing pharmacy.
And local musicians singing and leading worship, and then Carla sharing the gospel, and just everyone. I mean.
It's so much fun.
Only was it fun, but the majesty of God was so evident. Like in Romans 1 that it talks about how you can just know he's around.
Yes.
You know that he's God.
Yes.
Because, I mean, not only we're doing this work, but you look up and we're in mountains. I mean,
yes.
You know, we're looking at this
gorgeous
beauty.
Yes.
I mean.
You just see the Lord.
I kept saying, it's like God, it's like you're just showing off with how good you are. Like, it's just his
absolutely
majesty.
Gorgeous.
It just kept reminding us that, like I said, he kept showing me that I have you and I love you. And he kept showing it in like his artwork, the backdrop of everything we're doing. And I'm like, I'm looking at these beautiful people and I'm looking at this beautiful earth, all the trees. Like, God, you could have just made a tree.
Yes, and the water.
But he was like, no, I'm going to make a palm tree. I'm going to make this guy. I mean, it's just amazing. It was beautiful. And like you said, the team, we kept going. We supported one another.
Yes.
I mean, while we were on the trip, like you said, 2/3 of the trip, some people had to start antibiotics. I lost my aunt. Cheryl lost her uncle.
Yes.
You know, but just coming together, constant support, praying over each other, loving each other, encouraging each other. And I have to brag on, I wasn't going to say any names, but I brought up Cheryl. But one of the ladies on our team, I just love her so much.
Yes.
I love them all.
Yes.
But just watching the team, like one little boy had to, I forgot exactly what they did. Did they remove an abscess?
Yeah, removed an abscess.
And of
surgery.
Course, that's painful.
On a dirt floor.
Yes.
In the dirt. Not dirt floor. In the dirt.
In the dirt.
You know, walls with no windows. Like,
right.
This is raw as it can get.
Yes.
And Cheryl just remembered as a mother the pain of that mother seeing that little boy.
Going
what she
that
was
surgery.
Going through. And, you know, that's something we have to remember. We were reminded that this isn't just us coming over here. These are real people with real,
people.
Experiences,
yes.
with real pains.
Yes.
And just the way that her heart, her compassion, it was not made up. It wasn't something she had to, let me do this. No, it was so genuine.
Mm-hmm.
And it just reminded me that this is how God wants us to be.
That little boy is over there screaming in pain.
I can
hear
him.
Yeah.
And the mother's crying.
Mm-hmm.
She's so upset.
Mm-hmm.
And Cheryl goes and sits by that mother
and
cries
with
the mother and prays with the mother.
Mm-hmm.
Don't speak the same language, but they spoke the same universal language as a mother.
Amen.
And I'm telling you, you see in those moments, you see God and the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And it's hard and you're tired and you're worn out and it's a lot. But at the same time, you're energized and you're like,
that's right.
I'm ready.
And every time this is what I loved personally for me. Every time we presented the gospel and said, who wants to serve the Lord? Hands went up.
Always.
You know, hands went up, hand after hand after hand. And we had the opportunity to go down to the school and do the same thing, worship and then present the gospel. Hands go up. I want to serve the Lord. And it just made all of it worth it. It was like if people just get filled with the same Holy Spirit that I'm filled with, because I know what the Lord has done for me. I know I need the Lord. And if they can recognize that as well, then the Lord will continue. Of course, he's watching over them, but the Lord will continue to watch over them and continue to keep them even after we leave. It was such a blessing.
So what's been your take back since we've come back, the flight back? Like what has changed in you or what have you feeling? Just the comeback.
Yeah.
I'll just say the comeback.
I mean, honestly, I question how much I trust the Lord and whether I truly trust the Lord. I mean, these are individuals, lovely individuals who I love and miss since I'm back. I'm so happy to be back with my family, so happy to be back with my church family. At the same time, I miss them like so very much, miss being with them in Africa. But I keep thinking, okay, they are getting up every single day and they are doing their business and going about what God has called them to do. They're growing their crops. The Lord is sending rain. They are making it. and day after day. And I think, you know, with a one fourth, maybe less, of what I have here in America, am I truly trusting the Lord with everything that I have? Am I truly doing everything that I can do to share the gospel here like I did there? So that's kind of been the question that I have going around in my head. And so I'm planning to even teach my children, making sure that they know what mission is in their own backyard. Maybe they can't go to Africa right now. Maybe we don't have the funds for them to go to Africa. But what about the people that they know? Are they, you know, am I truly teaching them to share the gospel like I should be? So these are the things that I'm kicking around in my head.
For me, you know, if I'm being honest, I'm having a hard time being back, and I'm really not sure. I haven't processed it. And my wife said I needed to come up here, and Amy said I need to be up here.
We do what Amy
good,
said.
Good said right. So that's probably why I'm here, and it has been good. But I think I really don't know what it means for me this time. I've been so many times, but this time was incredibly hard in a wonderful way. But I just think back to, I've been studying the book of Acts, and I think back to how the early church was established and how they were spreading the gospel all throughout these nations, and it was growing so organically. And I felt like in a very small way, we're kind of getting to be a part of that, very small way in the organic growth. And I think for me, just we know something. We know God's love, and we know what Jesus Christ is. And so it looks different for different people, and you have to know your audience and how you share it. But to not share Christ's love in a loving way and in a kind way, we're missing the boat. And so that's why I go back to, we're all missionaries. And so how do I translate Christ's love and just to my day-to-day life, whether it be at my office or the grocery store or Africa? So maybe that's the thing I'm trying to process through right now.
Amen. Amen.
There's just been such a clarity, and I know there's going to be more things revealed, but,
yes. You
know, just God's vision has just been clearer.
Mm-hmm.
Like Proverbs talks about when we don't have the guidance of God, we run wild. But when we obey his laws, we have joy. And just the clarity of things that God has been trying to show me, I think, for years, there's a few things that I feel like, okay, I get it now. Like it's so clear, like that peace that doesn't make sense, some things that I have wrestled with. Slowly now, I'm just peaceful about. And just that, thank you, God, for showing me, for making my awareness, opening my awareness. And thank you, God, for loving me and showing me that you are my peace, you are my strength, you are my provider, you're everything. And not that we're going to go fix things, but we can make an impact.
Just
knowing that we can make an impact has just been so good. So I've loved it.
Yeah. Amen. We encourage everyone that's tuned in today just to continue to trust the Lord in all your ways and just lay your life before him and allow him to bring the pieces together in a way that brings him glory. He's promised that he will do that for each and every one of us. So everyone, our radio show is a program of Love Ministries, which is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. You can find out more information about Love Ministries from their website on loveministriesbuilds.org. You can keep up with us on our website, ehewradio.com, also on our social media at ehewradio, and check out our podcast on iTunes. You can listen back to all of the shows if you've missed some. We thank you for leaving us a 5-star rating, by the way, as well. So everyone, we will see you back here next week. I am your host, Carla Nivens. Have a wonderful week.